Amen. Amen. Would you give Keith Moore a welcome to this platform? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Brother Keith?
Yes, sir.
Whatever the Lord's given you, well, just lay it on us. Praise God.
Thank you, sir.
Bless you,
praise
man.
God. Thank you, sir.
Amen. So be it.
Ha.
Yeah. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, you ready for a nap? Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is good. 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 And His mercy endures forever. Why don't you say it out loud? For the Lord is good.
For the Lord
is good.
For the Lord
is good.
And His mercy
endureth
forever.
Oh, Father, we worship You. We worship You. We give You glory. Just lift your hands and praise Him a little bit. Father, we bless You. We praise You. We thank You for what we have already received in this great meeting. Words of life, words of truth. Oh, we give You praise. We give You thanks. We give You glory. Hallelujah. Just praise. Keep your eyes open because the buckets are coming through. But can you praise while your eyes are open? Just praise with your eyes open. Lord, we praise You. We give You glory. We give You thanks. We adore You. You are so excellent. You are so wonderful. You are so magnificent. Oh, You excel them all. Oh, there's no one like You. Oh, You do all things well, so well, so perfect, so good, so glorious, glorious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many can say He's done wonderful things for me in my life? He has answered prayers. He has brought me through. He's shown me what to do when I didn't know what to do. He's made a way where I couldn't find a way. He's raised up people and brought people to help me when I didn't know. I know some years ago, a lot of years ago, Phyllis, would you stand please again, my wonderful, lovely wife, Phyllis. Next to the Holy Ghost, she's the helper in my life, man. Oh, my word. What a wonderful partner in life. She and I had just got started in the ministry not too long, and we needed everything, and we're believing for everything. And we claimed a car, and we got a pretty nice car. It wasn't new, but it was sure a step up from where we were. And pretty sporty. And it was a two-tone Eldorado. No, Toronado. Oldsmobile. Toronado. Thank you. And it was real sharp. It was used, but it was nice. And I drove it in to where we were going. And some of the guys that had been helping us in ministry said, "Glory to God, Brother Keith. How'd y'all get that?" I said, "We believe for it." And they said, "That's wonderful." But when I walked away, something bothered me about that. "We believe for it." And so later on, in a time of waiting on the Lord, seeking the Lord, it came back up to me again. I said, "Lord, was there something wrong with that?" I just said, "We believe for it. Was there something wrong with that?" And He began to minister to me. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but inside me very distinctly, He began to take me through it. How it happened. And He said, "Well, how did you believe for it? Where did you get the faith? Whose faith was it?" I said, "Well, it's a measure of your faith that You gave me." And He said, "And how did you get it?" I said, well, it came from your word, hearing your word, a revelation of your word. And he said, weren't you tempted to get weary in standing a time or two or three? I said, yes, sir. He said, didn't I encourage you? I had people preach on things and stir you up. And I sent people by your path and encourage you not to quit, and keep believing. And I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he said, and who actually brought the money in and brought it to pass? I said, well, that'd be you. He said, my faith, my word, my encouragement, I brought it to pass, and I wasn't even mentioned. You just said, I believed for it. Y'all stand up. Some folks act like they don't know if they're like that or not. Yes, we have our part to play in it. But how many know if it wasn't by His grace and His mercy, we'd never get anything believed for. We'd never receive any. So when things happen, and get the other part of this. He ministered to me further. He said, I don't mean I'm hearing an audible voice now, but inside me. He said, not only that, Keith, he said, but when they left, they came and said, how'd y'all get this car? And I said, we believe for it. He said, well, when they left impressed with your faith. And that will not put them any closer to them receiving for themselves. The enemy will say, well, yeah, Brother Keith, Miss Phyllis, they can believe for that, but you're not where they are. And he said, I'll do exactly for them what I did for you, and I'll do it right now. He said, but they left impressed with your faith. And you know, we have to watch how we give testimony. Because we don't want people leaving impressed with us, leaving impressed with our faith. We want them impressed with God. And that God will do the same thing for them that He did for us, and He'll do it right now. And so if we'll tell the testimony right and give Him the glory, then people will leave encouraged that God will do the same thing for them. So the next time somebody asked me about it, instead of just saying we believed for it, I said the Lord did it for us. The Lord did it for us. He did this. He did that. Sure, we had our part to play, but the emphasis needs to be on Him, and that helps people be encouraged instead of impressed with us. Are you ready to believe God with me today?
Yes.
You know, utterance is greatly affected by the hearer. We've already received so many wonderful things, but you know the Lord's not through. He has more, and He has more tonight, right? And He has more the rest of the meeting. So let's just get everything we came for. Sometime the flesh gets a little weary, but, you know, the Spirit's ready anyhow. So let's believe God for a quickening, right? And to minister to your body, particularly certain parts. And let's just release our faith and believe the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together, agreeing as touching this thing, asking for utterance, asking for ears that hear, asking for eyes that see, revelation of truth that makes us free. Give us, Lord, answers to questions, solutions to problems, direction and help for right now, in Jesus' name. We believe we receive it. Lord, things that people have struggled over, things that people have just been perplexed and distressed over, cause the light to come out now, this afternoon, that would show forth the answer and cause the darkness and confusion to flee away. And how to apply your truth, how to put it into practice, put it into action. Show us how to do it today. And we purpose not to be forgetful hearers, our hearers only, for those do not reap benefits, but we purpose by your grace and help to be doers of the word. And we know as we do, we will be blessed. Say it out loud, I'm a doer.
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 Of the word of God.
Let's say it together three times. I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the Word of God. You know, that's the only people that get results. Not just the meeting goers. Not just the tape players. Not just the DVD watchers. I know another situation several years ago, the Lord, I was in a great meeting, and the Lord prompted me. He said, I was looking around thinking, glory to God, you know, so many excited about the Word. And He spoke to my heart. He said, Keith, there is a misconception in your circles. A misconception. I thought, what is it, Lord? I know what He's talking about, Word people, faith people. There's a misconception. He said, it is this, that if you'll get in the Word enough, it'll solve all your problems. I said, well, yeah, we pretty much believe that. He said, wrong. It's only the doer of the Word that gets the results. See, you, and that will answer some things why some people have been going to meetings for year after year after year, and they got the same problems they had 20 years ago. And they got a closet full of tape series. Right? They've been to everybody in their brother's meeting. They got library shelves full of books. And they still got the same problem. It's not the note taker. It's not the CD player. Who is it? Come on, tell me. Who gets the results? Who gets the answers? Who gets the miracles? Only the doer of the Word. Of course, now you need to get in the Word to find out what to do. But you must not stop there. You must go ahead and put it into practice. Do it. If the Word says pray, then you pray. If it says give, then you give. If it says walk in love, you walk. You don't just talk about it and take notes on it. You actually walk in love. You actually do it. So tell me again, who have I got in this place this afternoon?
Doers.
I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm a doer. Doer. Doer of the Word of God. Praise God. You can be seated. If you would turn with me, please, this afternoon in the wonderful Holy Word to Romans chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Romans 4, 2 Corinthians 5. And again, I'm asking you to believe with me this afternoon. Utterance is greatly affected by the hearers. Greatly affected. There's been some places I've gone to minister, and I was there for days and never could get out what I had in my heart. Never got it out. And sometimes folks say, well, what, you didn't know what it was? Yeah, I knew what it was. Well, why didn't you just give it out? Well, a couple of reasons. One, you can't without utterance. You just can't physically, spiritually can't. But then also the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. What does that mean? Well, pigs have no appreciation for pearls. They don't know the difference between pebbles and pearls. Right? And I know maybe you think your dog is saved, but dogs don't know the difference between a Bible and a newspaper. Right? They don't know the difference. They don't discern. And the sad thing is a whole lot of people are in that same category. They don't value things. Now, you need to know this about your own friends and co-workers and family. If people are not valuing what you're saying, most of the time you need to be quiet. There's a rare occasion where the Lord will have you go ahead and tell them anyway, but most of the time you need to zip it.
Amen, yes.
Because actually all that's happening is you're not being sensitive to the Spirit, and what you're doing is hardening them to the Word. Right? If they're not valuing what you're saying and they don't want to hear what you're saying, that includes your own family. That includes close family members. But so, well, they need it. Yeah, but it's not what they need. It's not what you see. It's not what you know. It's not what they need. It's what will they receive. And the Holy Spirit knows that. And so many times, you're just not the one to give it to them.
Exactly, yes.
Maybe what you're saying might be exactly right, but they won't receive it from you.
That's true.
Even if they knew it was right, they don't want to hear it from you.
That's true.
There's a lot of folk just ain't ready for you.
Exactly. Yes. Amen. Yep. That's true.
But there's some people that are.
Amen.
You're the one for them. That's why the Bible talks about, you know, pray the Lord that He would send forth laborers right into His harvest. And so many times you'll start to talk to somebody if you weren't led well enough to begin with, if you were led well enough to start, you wouldn't even try to talk to them about it. But you begin to get into it and you see they don't want to hear it. And it's just not going good. You need to shut up. You need to be quiet and talk about the weather or something else. Just change the subject. And then as you walk away, say, Lord, I'm asking you, send somebody across their path that they will listen to. There's somebody that appeals to them, that'll say it the way, that has the personality, that'll just catch them the right way at the right time. Use them. And then you need to be ready for him to use you on somebody else's family members. But that's another subject. But don't cast your pearls before swine. If they don't want to hear it, be quiet. In Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. Says, Abraham is the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Said out loud, walk in the steps of that faith. Steps of faith. I want to talk to you about this afternoon. Somebody say steps. Steps. Do you know what a step is?
Yes.
A step is not a flight. It is not a flying leap. It is not an amazing jump. Come on, tell me what a step is. Step is a step. A step, that's a step. That's another one, right? A step may not look like much, but it's how you got here. Right? It's how you got in here. You had to take steps to get out your house, get in your car, had to take steps to get in here, but one step after another, got you to a destination. Now, you might want to write this down, be thinking about it. Decisions determine direction. And direction determines destiny. You made a decision to come here today. Come here this week, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
How many think it was a good decision?
Oh, yes.
This decision that you made has put you on a course. Deciding to be here was deciding to hear these things. And deciding to hear these things puts you in a position to think a certain way and believe a certain way, and that will lead you towards other decisions. And every decision you make, how many remember the big one? Deciding to receive Jesus as Lord of your life. Did that decision determine your direction?
Yes.
And when you made that decision, did your direction change?
Yes.
You were on your way to hell. Everybody in here. You were. Without God, you were undone. You were on your way down. But when you received Him, that decision determined a new direction. And now you're going a different way. I said you're going a different way. There is a way that seems right to people, but the end of it is death. And destruction, and it just gets darker and darker, and it just gets worse and worse. But the path of the just is like the shining light. It gets brighter and brighter. It gets better and better. Somebody say brighter and brighter.
Brighter and brighter.
Better and better.
Better and better.
If you're on the right way, that's what you're experiencing. Things should be better for you now than they were last year. Had five amens on there. What's going on then? Well, brother, they're worse than they've been in 10 years. Then something's wrong. I said, something's wrong. It's not supposed to be worse than it was 10 years ago. Now, let me get into something here. There is a deception in the body of Christ, particularly in the ministry. People are believing lies in regard to this area. And that is that if you really obey God, it's going to get worse than it's ever been. Someone said, oh man, you know, we decided to do that project for Jesus. We decided to build that new building. We decided to launch out in that new mission work. And I'm telling you, I guess every demon in hell broke out against us. And we've had more trouble than we've ever had. And we're in worse shape. We've had more financial struggles. And we've had more physical challenges. And we've had more fights with our spouse than we've ever had. But I guess you just got to expect that when you really step out to obey God. Y'all are too quiet. Someone said, ain't that the way it is? Well, you tell me. Are all these things, lack, physical problems, trouble with your spouse, trouble with your kids, curse or blessing?
Curse.
So you're telling me that the more I sell out to obey God, the more cursed I'm going to be. The more fully I obey God, the more curses I'm going to be. No, listen, friend, this is giving the devil too much credit.
Amen.
The problem is in the deception. He's always trying to plant seeds of fear in you. Oh, man, if you do that, now just get ready, you're going to have a battle on your hands. Oh, man, if you go on and obey God all the way, watch out. Hell is going to break loose on you. Well, if you're afraid it's going to happen and you start to do it trembling in fear, what do you think's going to happen? Your fears are going to come on you and you'll try to justify it that it's because you're holier and more sold out than other people. And you're living in a dream world. So there's a whole lot of people, their life is miserable. And they try to justify it by some spiritual explanation. Well, it's because I've got such an amazing call on my life. And, you know, the vision God has given me is so great and so amazing that half of hell has been assigned to me. And it's just because of the great revelation. And Paul had some experience in this area, didn't he? Great revelation. And the enemy did try to mess with him. But what did God tell him?
My grace.
What did God tell him?
My grace.
Yeah, it's going to get bad if you follow me all the way. No, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. What does that mean? To overcome.
Amen.
To win.
Yes.
And things are supposed to get better.
Amen.
Not worse. No, you're not supposed to lose half your church because you do what God told you to do. Well, God's doing a purging. He's purging that church.
Yeah.
Three quarters of the church is gone. Yeah, needed a lot of purging. How about you missed it? How about somebody missed God? Is this going over like a lead balloon, ain't it? Boom. No, when you obey God, things get better. The path of the just, am I quoting scripture now? The path of the just gets what? Brighter, not darker. Brighter and brighter, just like the sun coming up. First you see the orange glow of the sun, and then it keeps on coming up in the sky, and it just gets brighter and brighter and brighter till noon. Full, straight up, full sun. That's what it's like when you follow God. Now, believe the devil's lies now. Don't believe it. I know when I first got into the ministry, I say I'm going to camp on this a minute. People have made the Word of God of no effect by their traditions. And there is a tradition in word and faith camps. There's a tradition among ministers that when you start out to obey God, look out. Look out. Oh man, you're going to go through some stuff. It's going to be hard. Just get ready. Get ready. Get ready for it. Isn't that like believing for trouble? Wouldn't that be like opening the door for problems? I know about the first year with Phyllis and I were in the ministry, the devil can't bring thoughts to my mind. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you out. You're not going to last long. I'm taking you out. I'm going to kill you. And one of the reasons why he thought he could talk to me about that is because the previous two men on my mother's side had been shot and killed when they were 21. I was the next man on my mother's side of the family. And they used to tell me as a little boy, they'd pull out pictures and they had one of him in the casket. I never knew him. You know, he died. And they said, you know, you look just like him. And then when I got old enough to understand, the devil told me, isn't that strange? Both of them died. 21 years old, exactly. Shot with a pistol over a woman. Pow. And you coming next. You next. Bang. 21. Bang. And that's about the age I was when we first, you know, really began to pursue the ministry. And the devil said, I'm gonna take you out. 21. Tick tock. Tick tock. I was 20. Tick tock. Tick tock. And the devil tried to mess with me on that. And you had to watch about this. Isn't that strange?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that strange? That's strange, isn't it? Both men died at 21. And you look just like your grandpa. Isn't that strange? See, the devil's trying to sow fear.
Yeah.
He's trying to sow a seed of fear. And I didn't know any better when I was a young man growing, you know, in my early teens and stuff. But thank God, by the time I had gotten 20, I had gotten a hold of ministries like Kenneth Copeland and Miss Gloria Copeland. Hallelujah. And I'm learning some things. I learned, and I tell you, I ain't got over it yet. I learned I had been redeemed from the curse of the law. Oh, glory to God. So I begin to resist that. I begin to say, no, I don't accept that. Why should I fear that? Why should I expect that? And why should you expect trouble when you step out to obey God? Why should I fear? Why should I expect it? And so, thank God the Holy Ghost helped me one day. Those thoughts just kept trying to come. The devil's a persistent cuss. Have you found that out? Kept on coming. And finally, one day the Holy Ghost asked me, inside me, I don't mean an audible voice, but inside me real strong. He said, Keith, why don't you ask him why he hasn't already done it?
Yeah.
I thought, yeah. And I got a little sassy then. I thought, yeah. Yeah, bad boy. Why? Why haven't you taken me out already? Why didn't you take me out when I was born? Why didn't you take me out when I was a kid growing up? You had plenty of chances. I mean, I visited the emergency room almost every summer. Talk about a boy. I mean, woo, I swung from the trees. I wrecked motorcycles. You had plenty of shots at me. Why didn't you kill me? Why hadn't you already taken me out? You know why? You know why? Maybe because he likes you and just want to let you live a little while longer. You know why he hasn't taken me out and why he hasn't taken you out already? Because he can't.
Yeah.
He can't. He would have killed us all. He's a killer. He's a murderer. He's a destroyer. That's what he does. He would have taken us all out many thousands of times over if he could have. But God has kept us. His angels have kept us. His spirit has kept us unto this present hour. And if we'll stay in the will of God, he will continue to keep us all the way.
Amen.
Till we run our race and finish our course and we get out of here. So no, don't think like that. Don't believe like that. Don't listen to those things. Cast those thoughts down. And when you step out to obey God and do a project He's told you to do and step out into the vision, you need to expect to have more money than you have ever had before, to have more grace than you have ever had before. Why? Because you're believing God beyond where you ever believed Him before. You're obeying God more fully than you ever have before. You're not supposed to be more cursed. You're supposed to be more fully blessed. In the perfect and full will of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, beware of this stuff.
Yes.
It's ingrained tradition, even in our circles.
Yes.
But where's it at in the Bible? Examine yourself. Check up on yourself. Don't let it cloud your thinking. Don't let yourself expect trouble. Expect victory. Expect blessing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go to Psalm 37, please. Like I was saying, you know, there's a lot of pride in that too. Isn't there? Why you got more trouble than somebody else? Huh? Because you so holy. You so special. Why you got more trouble? I mean, don't you think people like the Copelands have got a tremendous call on their life? You see them depressed?
No.
You see them crying about their challenges?
No.
What do you see?
Victory.
You see victory.
Yes.
And how many see every year get bigger,
yes,
get stronger?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Every year, more victories, more advancement. Can you see the light getting brighter,
yes,
and brighter?
Yes.
Huh? I mean, if the devil was going to be able to stop and harass somebody, wouldn't he go for the big ministries? Wouldn't he go for the people that are influencing the most people in the earth?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, if they're overcoming and happy and having a victory time, why can't you?
Right?
Right? If they're advancing and getting bigger and stronger every year, why won't you be? You should be. I should be. Every one of us. But it comes in steps. Say it again, steps. Steps of faith. In Psalm 37, look at this. Psalm 37. And 23. Says, the steps of a good man. Actually, the word good is added by the translators. It's not there in the original. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Let me read that to you from another translation. The Lord directs the steps. The New Living says he delights in every detail of their lives. Don't you like that?
Yes.
He delights in every detail of what? Directing us. You know, Miss Gloria has been talking about the master plan. Doesn't that stir you up when you hear that? Does God have the master plan? Are you included in the master plan? You know, so many times, even Christians, faith people, they tell their young children, they tell their teenagers, honey, you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. Anything. You want to be a doctor? You want to be a lawyer? Baby, you can be anything you want to be. And I know what they're trying to do. Instead of telling them you can't be, they want to tell them you can be, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's a truth. And yet, that's not really true. Baby, you can be anything you choose to be, anything you decide to be. And so you see children at career day in school, or when they're going to choose their major and they're in college, and they actually have it in their mind, I'm deciding what I want to do with my life. I'm deciding what I want to be. Wrong. I said wrong. If Jesus is your Lord, you don't get to decide what you want to be. It's already decided for you before you were born. It's up to you to discern, not decide, discern what God has already predestined you to be before you were ever conceived. Are y'all with me now? This is so important. We've got so many millions of believers that are just making their plans and just doing their things and asking God to bless it. And He doesn't conform to us. He's not obligated to bless just anything you decide to do. He's not obligated to help you and prosper you in just any direction you decide to go. Is He? If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But what if, the very next verse, if you refuse and rebel? I think sometimes we don't read the next verse. But if you refuse and rebel, you're going to be destroyed. God's not obligated to anoint just anything I decide to preach. He's not obligated to help me in just any meeting I decide to go have. I could go to the wrong place at the wrong time. I could try to preach the wrong thing and be on my own. That's a lonely place. On my own. And get frustrated because it didn't go good. And get frustrated because the money didn't come in. And get frustrated because it just, you know, the whole thing is not a success. And I'm going, God, I'm out here trying to serve You. God, I'm a man of Yours. God. Yeah, but a man of His ought to listen to Him. And ought to check in with Him. And ask Him what to do. And where to go. And what to preach. How many remember the scripture? Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. To your own understanding. In all your ways. How many? How many? How many? Not just what you think is spiritual things. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I'm quoting it, but turn to it. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Let your eyes rest on it. This is so important. Can y'all stay with me this afternoon? Proverbs 3. Verse 6. What does it say? In how many? All your ways do what? Acknowledge Him, and what would happen? He shall direct thy path. Can you count on Him doing that?
Yes.
Didn't say He might, didn't say sometimes He would, but some. He shall direct your path. How many understand if He's directing your paths and you taking steps down that path, you're not going to be destroyed. It's not going to get worse with you. It's going to get better with you. It's going to get brighter and brighter because you are on the path in the perfect will of God, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. As I stand before you this afternoon, I can tell you, I have the conviction in my spirit. I have the awareness, the consciousness in my spirit that Phyllis and I are doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. That we are located where we're supposed to be located. And doing what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I'm not saying we can't do it better and we hadn't missed some details here and there, but I got the sense that we're in the will of God. And I've got satisfaction. And I feel like we're making a difference. And like we're bearing some fruit. I feel a sense of fruitfulness. And friend, there is nothing in this world that compares to that. Because life is short. Life is very, very brief. In a few more breaths, you and I are going to be out of here one way or the other. Right? And it won't matter how much money we made, how much stuff we had, how many magazine covers we got on, how many people knew our name. It won't matter. The only thing that will matter is did we do what He put us here to do? That's the only thing that's going to matter. How many believe you are here for such a time as this? You are put here for a purpose. You are a unique, one-of-a-kind work of art of God's creation. You have specific graces and gifts that enable you for a specific place and to do a specific job. And it is one of the worst tragedies in human history that millions of people are born and live and die and never find their place and never do what they were put here to do. It's happening by the millions. Someone says, well, how would I know if that's happening to me? Real simple. We're to operate by the witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with us that we are the children of God. If He can let you know you're a child of God, He can let you know something else. Amen. Like where you're supposed to be.
Yes.
What you're supposed to be doing. Those who are not in their place are unhappy.
That's right.
They are unfulfilled. There are many like this. I'm not talking about people outside. I'm talking about people that would come to a meeting like this. People in the ministry. There are many that are dissatisfied. They don't feel like they fit where they are. They don't feel like they're doing everything they can be doing. They're dissatisfied and they are unfulfilled. They feel unfruitful. They feel dissatisfied. Well, the Bible says deep calls unto deep. If you're not satisfied in your spirit, if you feel like there's something more, you know why you feel that way? Because there's something more.
Amen.
If there wasn't something more, there wouldn't be anything there here to call to there.
Amen.
It's calling. Something's calling you. And what has happened is much of the world's population has allowed the devil to deceive them where you can't really know. And we all dissatisfied to some degree or another. And so we just kind of have to live with what we got. And, you know, we just... And you got most of the church world doesn't even believe they can be individually and personally led. Most of the church world don't even believe that. They just pray a general prayer, God lead us. And then they do whatever they had planned and hope it's the will of God. Most of the church world is doing that. Oh, God, lead us. God, direct us. We just ask you to, you know, for us to get into your plan some way. And then they just do what they decide to do and hope some way or another it works out to be the will of God. But Ephesians says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's why He gave us this book. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. That's why He gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, gifts to teach us. And He taught us how to pray so we can find out what is His will. We have a responsibility to find out God's will for our life. Now the devil is the confuser. He is the deceiver. And he's working overtime to keep you, to try to confuse you, try to confuse me about the will of God. But listen, it is so, so simple. 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 God loves you. He wants you in His will. He is not trying to hide His plan from you. He's not trying to make it difficult. He's not trying to make you jump through hoops and try to, you got to fast 40 days at least once a year to even get a clue of what it is. Oh, no. No, no, no. It's much more obvious. In fact, it is so obvious so much of the time that people don't pay attention to it. You got millions of people doing this. Oh, God, if you would just show me what your plan is. Oh God, if you just some way speak to me so that I could see what it is that you want me to do, Lord. Oh Father, oh Lord Jesus, I'm unhappy. I just feel unfulfilled some way or another. I'm just not satisfied in life. Oh, Jesus, if you'd just show me. Oh, Lord, if you'd just show. People do this for years. 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 And if by the grace of God they'll go, this? You mean this? Well, God, that's been there for 20 years. Oh. It was too simple for them. It was too simple. It was too obvious. They want to climb the highest mountain. They want to cross the farthest sea. They want to break records fasting and reading scripture. And it can be as simple as go to this church, be faithful, read your Bible and pray, go to this meeting. It's real simple things, but here's the thing. It takes steps of faith to do it. And if you don't take this step, you can't get to that step. And so you got millions that God's given you, given people a step, and it's right here. But they want to see over there. And He's not going to talk to you about over there. Well, why won't He? Because He don't want to. Yeah, but I want Him to. Yeah, but He don't want to. And He's the boss. Yeah, but I would really like it if God would sit down with me with my planner. And would talk to me, let's be on this. Well, He is a faith God. And He expects you to walk by faith. And so He'll say, take a step. And you look through the door and go, what's over there? What do I do after that? And you'll get nothing. Silence. Because you got all you need to know if you're going to walk by faith. But if you'll take that step, here comes revelation for the next step. And if you'll take that step, here comes revelation for the next step. And if you'll take that step, and man, you take step after step, you're on the path. Your decisions have determined a direction. Your direction has got you toward a destiny, a destination. Everybody awake this afternoon. Go with me on over. You're there in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 2 says also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hastes with his feet sins. People miss it most of the time by moving too fast. I didn't say all the time, most of the time. People miss it by moving too fast and by talking too much. I said by moving too fast and talking too much is how you, me, we've all missed it. The Bible said in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Sin is missing the mark. And here it says, he that hasteth with his feet sins. That's how you miss it. So many times people praying about stuff, it's just a farce. It's just a show. Well, I better pray about this before I do it. So they go, rundai, shundai, untie my bow tie. Oh yeah, the Lord said it'd be fine. Let's just go do it. They never heard from the Lord. They never got any direction. They just tried to salve their conscience that they prayed a little bit, but they already decided what they're going to do before they started praying. To hear from the Lord, you've got to be open to hear a no. You got to be open to hear something different than what you had wanted to hear. If you're not even open, you're not even on the right frequency spiritually to hear. It's like trying to pick up an FM station on an AM band. You can't pick up things from God on the disobedience band. On the I already made up my mind band. You got to be open to hear a no. That's not what I have for you. I know when I taught at Rhema, as an instructor, one of our duties was to help the students in personal areas too. We had a rule of no public display of affection. And I went back to my office one day after classes, and right outside my window, it was, you know, it was a kind of a one-way deal. You could see out, but they couldn't see in. And there was a young man and young woman. Oh, man, they were doing some heavy kissing and hugging, and wow. I mean, right there, about 2 feet from my window. I just tried to pretend I didn't see it, and I didn't want to fool with it, you know. And so I thought, well, maybe they'll, you know, quit. And so the next day, there they are, even more heated. I thought, oh, I got to say something. You know, it's part of my duty. So I went out there, and oh, man, they're hugging, they're kissing them. I tapped them on the shoulder. They were not happy to see me. They turned around and thought, yes. I said, guys, you know there's a rule about no public display of affection. Well, yeah, but we're going to be married. We're about to be married. I said, about to be married, going to be married, is exactly the same as not being married. How many people do you know of that was going to be married and never was? And but as I'm talking to him, though, the Spirit of God brought something up in me. I said, well, guys, now here's something else. I believe it's from the Lord. Look at me. Of course, they're just mad. They're just upset. They don't want to be ministered to. But this is one time the Lord led me to. So, and, you know, when they didn't want to. And so I said, guys, you know, maybe you are going to be married. I don't know. I said, but I know this. Your bodies are talking so loud right now. You couldn't hear God if he's talking to you through a PA system. This is all you can hear is your body. How many know your body's got a voice? Well, they didn't like to hear that. But they left. And about 6 months later, the young lady caught me coming out of a class one day. She said, Brother Moore, can I speak to you? I said, yeah. She said, do you remember me? I said, I'm sorry, I don't. She said, you know, we were hugging and kissing. I said, oh, yeah, okay. And she said, I wanted to thank you. I said, for what? She said, you know, when you told us that, your bodies are talking so loud, you couldn't hear God if he's talking to you through a PA system. Said, it just made both of us mad, and we left. But I got to thinking about it. I couldn't get away from that. It kept coming up to me, even in the nighttime. Is that true? Have I really asked the Lord? Am I open for him to tell me that this man is not the one? I haven't really been. My body is screaming. And so I told him, the young man, I said, you know, maybe there's something to what he said. Let's just cool off the physical for a little while. And I said, he got mad. Oh, he got mad. He got upset. And how many know that's not love? That's not love. Oh, he got mad. He got upset. And then she saw something's not right here. So she insisted that they cool it. And so she began to pray and ask the Lord. And the Lord told her, he's not the one.
Amen.
Well, why didn't she hear that before? You can't pick up the direction from God on the I've already made up my mind band. It's like trying to pick up an FM station on an AM band. How many know you can't get the station? I mean, you could drive your car up and put the bumper on the station itself. You can buy you an antenna 20 foot tall and put you some amplifiers so powerful until you can hear the sizzling across the street. And you will never pick up the station. Nothing wrong with the station. And really nothing wrong with the receiver, except it's on the wrong band. You got to be open. Somebody say open. You got to be open to hear something different than what you thought you wanted to hear. You got to be willing. Willing. Open. And if you be willing and obedient, anybody know the rest of it? You'll wind up eating the good of the land. Proverbs 19:2. He said that the soul be without knowledge is not good. He that hastes with his feet sins. So people miss it most of the time by what? Moving too fast? Talking too much. I found this on major things, God's direction for your life. If it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow.
Amen.
And things where Phyllis and I have made major changes, like we relocated to different states and we left home and went to school and that kind of thing. You need to know you've heard from the Lord. Because, you know, things can come up and trials and tests can come up. And the first thing that the enemy will try to hit you with if something's not going perfectly is, are you sure you're supposed to be here? Maybe you missed it by being here. And if you're not sure, you can't have faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you're questioning the will of God, whether you're supposed to be there or not, you can't have faith to overcome. You need to be able to say, yes, I know. Yes, I'm sure. We got that settled before we came. I'm doing what he told me to do. Then you got faith to stand. People miss it most of the time by moving too fast, by talking too much. And he went on to say, verse 3, the foolishness of man perverts his way, messes up his way, and then his heart frets against the Lord. Let me read this to you from another translation. The English version says, some people ruin themselves by their own stupid actions, and then they blame the Lord. The Message Bible says people ruin their lives by their own stupidity. So why does God always get blamed? Man, this has just happened too many times to talk about what we were talking about earlier. Even ministers, they've done stuff. They've launched out on projects and it hurt the church. The church didn't grow, didn't develop. It went down. And yet so many times they're too proud to admit they missed it. They got to invent some other spiritual reason. Well, you know, when you got something this spiritual and a vision this great, the devil really attacks it. How about you miss God? How about that one? How about you made a mistake? You just decided to do something and it wasn't the Lord. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise
say it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Psalm 68. Phyllis and I here in this meeting got wonderful, amazing elders and friends like the Copelands, the Duplantises, and the Savelles, different ones, just amazing friends and people. We, in the ministry, preaching the word, because we went to a meeting years ago, just like you came to this meeting. I was not going to be a preacher. Had no intentions of being a preacher. I was going to be a fighter. 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 Full contact martial arts fighter. I'd trained to do it since I was 10 years old. I did it night and day. A year or two before I went into the ministry, I was tapering off my secular employment so I could train all the time. I couldn't preach to you. I couldn't find scriptures. I could kick you real hard. But I had no intention. So how did I get here today with a Bible in my hand? I had a plan. I was going to Japan to study under the masters. I was going to be one of the best light heavyweights that there was. I had a plan. I had a focus. And you know, I still enjoy it, you know, watching it and that kind of thing. But I'm so glad I didn't, because by now, by this age, Even when you win, you take some hits, man. You know, and by this time, your joints and you'd need to know something about healing. And miracles. One of the guys that was tops in that field when I was interested in it, he said I already had to have a couple of joint replacements. He just wore them out. Just wore his hip out. And he's so funny. He was showing me one of them the other day. He said, titanium. Dunk, 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 dunk. He said, man, it's a weapon. Pow! And I just kind of like the life I got right now. I mean, healthy. Not experienced. God had another plan for me that I wasn't aware of at all. But he didn't sit down with me and say, I want you to be a teacher at Raymond. I want you to be travel around the country and the world and be a part of wonderful conferences. And I want you to, you know, no. If he'd have tried to tell me that, you know what I'd have done? You gotta be kidding. It would have just blown me away. How could I have fathomed it? But you know what he did? He dealt with Phyllis and me. Go to a meeting. Go to a meeting. One of the first ones we went to was in the late 70s with Brother and Sister Copeland in Jackson, Mississippi. Set us on a course. And then a few years later, he dealt with us to go to Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. And it might not sound that big to you now, but it took all the faith we had to go to that meeting. It was only two or three states away, but we were just little country people and no money. And, you know, you never really went away from home. I know I worked in a general store where it had an old potbelly stove like you see on the, you know, the old folk stuff. And the old men come sit around and talk. And we built a new facility, but we kept the stove because our customers required it. And I know a couple of them sitting around there one day, and this is in central Mississippi. And, of course, Memphis is just a few hours right up the road, but one of the guys was going to Memphis. They said, you really going all the way to Memphis? Yeah, I'm going. They talked about it for two or three weeks. Going to Memphis. So he went. Well, he came back. Oh, everybody's, you came back from Memphis? Yeah. What about? He said, oh, boys, he said, I never was so glad to get back in the United States. He thought he had been somewhere, man. He left town. So, you know, we're going to leave and go to Oklahoma from there. And we didn't have a decent car to go, and we didn't have money to go. But we got it in our hearts, we're supposed to go to that meeting. We didn't know why, but we knew we're supposed to go. So we decided, somebody say decided.
Decided.
Say it again.
Decided.
We decided we're going to go. Thank God we'd heard the Copelands enough and some other people enough that we'd learned enough about faith to know you don't have to see how to believe you can do it. And we sowed some seed to it. We said, we're going.
Amen.
We're going. Now, friends, don't let this be too simple for you today.
No.
I said, I'm preaching to you today because I went to a meeting.
Amen.
I took a step.
Amen.
Phyllis and I took a step that led to another step, that led to another step, that led to another step. And you and I looking at each other today. But what if we hadn't gone to the meeting? What if we hadn't gone to the meeting? We would have never known where the next steps led to. We did not know what was on the line. And God didn't tell us. And that's the way He operates. So by faith, we decided, somebody say decided, decided.
Decided.
By faith,
we
decided to go. It grieves me when I hear people, good people talking today. You know, we got our own ministry. We got meetings at our church. And some of the meetings, there are times when Phyllis and I look at each other. I'll ask her, are so-and-so coming to this certain meeting? And she'll say, yes, they said they're coming. And then a week before, they call and say, no, we can't come. Well, why? Well, there were a few things around the house. There was a plumbing leak and there was this and there was that. And it is so pitiful what people let knock them out of putting the things of God first. I mean, obviously not you. You're here. Right? You're here. But do you know what I mean? You probably know people that ought to be here with you in this meeting. And why aren't they here? Now, you want to think of something sobering. You think if the Lord told them to be here and it's a step for them, like it was a step for Phyllis and I on the path of their call, and they don't do it and they wind up never doing the will and plan for their life, they're going to stand before the Lord soon and give an account. Did you hear me? And there'll be many men and women that'll have to give an account for a ministry they were called to that they never did. But the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And He's going to ask you, why didn't you do it? And think about people standing there and going, well, there was a toilet problem. And Aunt Minnie had a stomach ache, and we really felt like we shouldn't leave with her with a stomach ache like that. And you know, the dog just gets nervous when you get away from home. And now, am I making stuff up?
No.
Are people ignore what the Lord tells them to do because of little nitpicky stuff? Now, can you imagine standing before the Lord and trying to explain why you didn't obey Him? With little stuff like this. Do you know no excuse is going to carry any weight? Even if you say, well, Lord, my wife didn't like to come. Well, Lord, my husband, he just didn't want to. And well, Lord, you know how they are. And you know my kids. And you know how they were acting at that particular. Do you understand? The devil will try to do stuff crazy with your kids, with your dog. Why do you think it's going on? He's trying to keep you out of the will of God. He's trying to, and the thing is, people don't understand. It's just a meeting. Just a meeting. It's just a church service. It's just one service. It's just one meeting. Yeah, but you didn't know what that one led to. And then that's why millions of Christians are dissatisfied. They're disgruntled. They feel unfulfilled, unfruitful. They just feel like they're displaced. They feel like they're still looking for their place. How many have you heard? Don't raise your hand. But how many have heard somebody talk? Well, I guess you can raise your hand. Talk about they're looking for their place.
Oh yeah.
They're looking for the. I didn't say you. So you've heard somebody looking. Ministers, everybody, looking, trying to find their place.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to find their place. You are not supposed to go a month wondering about your place.
Amen.
The reason people are is because they have ignored steps. And they don't even see what the problem is. Because they disesteemed it. They thought, well, yeah, I didn't go to that meeting. Yeah, I didn't go. Well, then you don't know what didn't happen.
Absolutely.
That's right. All you know is you're dissatisfied. Phyllis and I released our faith. We sowed our seed. We told everybody we're going. We told our employers. We made plans. We took off work. No car, no money. But we going.
Amen. Yeah.
Somebody say, we going.
We're going.
We decided we're going to go to the meeting. Why? We don't know. They even had people ask, what you need to go all the way out there to go to church? We got churches right here. You ever heard that before? Well, the Holy Ghost is a teacher. Can't He teach you right here? Not if He said go there. No.
That's it.
So we made plans. We made plans. And a few days before, one of our relatives said, I want you to use my car, new car. I want you to use my car on this trip. Glory to God. Got a nearly new car. We got in the car. We're headed that way. And we didn't even know if we had enough money to get there. But Phyllis said, I got money. She said, you do? She said, yeah. So-and-so gave me money. And then so-and-so gave me money. And so-and-so gave me money. I said, well, I got money too. I pulled out. So-and-so gave me money. And we put it together. Plenty of money. To go out and to stay and pay your room and to eat and come back. Glory to God.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Somebody say step, a step,
yes.
A step of faith.
Amen.
We went to the meeting. We got up early. Of course, us being little country bumpkins, we got lost every night going back to the room. Country. But we got there. And we get up early because we want to have a good seat. We got up early and go stand in line, hours and hours. And we stay out there at the convention center all day long. End of the night, we did it day after day after day. And man, something was getting in us. You know, the Word of God has a displacing effect on you. The more the Word gets in you and faith gets in you, it displaces unbelief. It displaces fear out of you.
Yes.
And sometimes it happens gradually. You don't even realize how much it's happening. And except if you're here at like a meeting like this all week and you get so full and you'll go back and you'll wonder what's wrong with those folks at home.
That's the truth.
What is the deal with them? It ain't them. It's you. You have changed.
Yes.
You've grown. Your faith has increased. You're seeing things differently. But it happened, you know, not just all in one minute. It happened hour after hour, day after day. And that's why this much concentrated word over this period of time, and it just changes you. And that's what it was doing to us. And they had a tour of Rhema Bible Training Center. And we felt impressed strong we should go. So we went. We're walking over the grounds. Spirit of God come on us. We looked at each other. We're riding back on the bus. And we were having a meeting downtown. It's close to the oil refinery. And it stunk. In the middle of, really hot, in the middle of the summer. And it smelled bad. And Phyllis said to me, she said, you ever knew you were supposed to do something? And you didn't really want to do it? I said, what? I'm playing dumb. I said, what? She said, it stinks here. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you don't know? I said, yeah, I know. We're supposed to come. And man, all the way, you know, the rest of the services, we prayed about that. We looked at all the way home. We prayed about that. And sure enough, we were supposed to come.
Amen.
And we came. We thought we'd be there 1 year. And go home, help our local church. I was there, we were there 20-something years. Glory to God. Able to be a part of the healing school. After several years, able to teach in the training center, the Bible school. After several years, able to travel with Brother Hagin all over the country and sing for him and then preach for him eventually. What if we hadn't gone to the meeting? What if we hadn't gone to the meeting? Come on, help me out.
Yes, sir.
What if we hadn't gone to the meeting?
Yeah.
We'd be sitting back in Mississippi, huh? In a wore-out trailer, wondering, isn't there more to life? Wondering, I just don't feel satisfied. I just feel like there's more. And probably some religious person be telling us, oh, you just need to be satisfied with what you got now. Just be satisfied. You're to be thankful for what you have, but you're not supposed to sit down and be satisfied when God's got something else for you to do. And He's got more for you to step into and advance into. Hallelujah. One thing led to another. Led to another. You know, we don't have time to go through all the details, but looking back over our life now, I can see where we took that step, then we got direction for another step. Then we took that step, we got direction for another step. But you can't look all the way down the road and say, well, Lord, tell me where we're going. No, He doesn't want to. He wants you to walk by faith. And if He says go to the meeting, He wants you to go to the meeting with not a clue.
Yes.
Why? Just obey Him. How many know Abraham? We read the scripture, the steps of our father, you know, Abraham, the steps of faith. What was one of the first steps God gave him? Huh? Leave this country. Leave your kinfolks. Leave your family. Leave your home. And what does Hebrews 11 tell us? And he went out, not knowing where he went. He went out. What if he hadn't gone out? Oh, come on, can you stay with me just a few minutes more? What if he hadn't gone out? Then there never would have been a time when he's standing looking up into the night sky and God's given him this word. There never would have been a time when God said, look, all this land, I'm giving it to you. None of that would have ever happened. Did you find Psalm 69? Is that what it was? 68? Look at this. Psalm 68. Say it out loud. Steps of faith. The devil is a despiser. And he'll try to get you to despise things as small and inconsequential. There's a term none of you, including your teenage daughters, should say. Whatever. No biggie. No whatever. What? The devil is a despiser, and he'll have you do that with things all the time. Ain't that big of a deal where we go or where we don't. Yeah, I know we said we'd help on that team, but you know, things have changed and it's just not, you know. If the Lord dealt with you to go, you better get your little self there because you don't know what's on the other end of that step. You don't know. And He's not going to tell you. There's been several times I looked at, there's been some things that I did and I just had a slight witness to do it. I don't mean an audible voice. I don't mean a vision. I don't even mean a strong witness. I just mean a slight something. And I did it, and dear me, it's one of the greatest services I ever had. It was one of the greatest revelations that I ever got. It was one of the greatest financial outpourings I ever received. And when it happened, I thought, God, why didn't you tell me that was that important? He said, you're already moving that way. He said, faith pleases me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. You got to obey Him, not knowing. Not knowing. Which means you must not despise things and go, oh, it's only the service. Oh, and I've been to a lot of believers' meetings. I've done this. I've been to a lot of church services. Well, I've done a lot of other things. None of that matters. If the Lord directs you to be there, you better get yourself there. Even though it may seem like it's the same thing that happened the last 95 times, it could be completely different this time. Psalm 68, notice this. Psalm 68. Verse 5, God is a father of the fatherless. He's a judge of the widows. is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Say that out loud, that last phrase. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. Who does?
Rebellious.
This is one of the singular most identifying traits of the devil. Another one of the biggest ones is lying and deception. But this is one, and they go together, but this is one of the things that makes the devil, is his rebellion. He is rebellion. It's his nature. We live in a rebellious society. If you go back and study, you see the mass of trouble that the first generation of Israelites got into was because of their rebellion. And didn't the Lord tell them, you are a stiff-necked people. You are a rebellious bunch, a stubborn bunch. And the problem with rebellion is that it prevents you from following your path. It stops you from advancing to the next step. And as a result, rebellious people live in a different place. Where do they live? They live in a dry place. You ever heard Jesus talked about some other beings that lived there? Rebellious spirits. Right? When demons are cast out, they go through what? Dry places. Seeking rest and finding none. Notice this. The English version says, he gives the lonely a home to live in. He leads prisoners out into happy freedom. But rebels will have to live in a desolate land. The Jewish Bible says he leads prisoners out into prosperity, but rebels must live in a parched wasteland. Rebels, the Living Bible says, for them there is famine and distress. Rebellious people, God's Word translation says, must live in an unproductive land. Say it out loud, barren. Unfruitful. What does this sound like? Didn't it sound like what we were describing earlier? That there are many, many people, they just feel unproductive. They just feel like they're not where they're supposed to be and life is not like it's supposed to be. So what is a connector here? We quote Hosea 4. Turn there. I'm going to let you stand up in just a minute. Hosea 4. I could quote it, but you need to see it. Because we've quoted it, but we've left off part of it. Hosea 4 and 6. Anybody know Hosea 4, 6? What does it say? My people are what? Destroyed. For lack of knowledge. Did you know that's not the whole verse? That's not the whole verse. What's the rest of the verse say? What's the very next word? Because. Wait. What because? People are destroyed for lack of knowledge because what? Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Rebellion disqualifies from God's plan. This is strong, but it needs to be because it's the truth. One of the most specific examples of rebellion in the Scripture is Saul. You remember him? You know, the Bible talks about rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as idolatry. It was talking about him. Rebellion. And did you know what rebellion did to him? He was God's anointed. But because of his rebellion, the prophet told him, God has rejected you. He lost his place. He was ordained to be king. He was supposed to operate in that place. It was supposed to go from one level to the next. But his rebellion disqualified him, and God put another man in there. Didn't he?
Yes.
Rebellion and stubbornness can put you in a place where God can't even help you. I know that's a big statement. I'm going to show you somewhere else in just a moment where it says that. It'll put you in a situation where nobody can help you except you. You can still help yourself, but it'll put you where nobody, not your pastor, not your friends, nobody can help you. Let me show you further about it. Why were they destroyed? And why didn't they have the knowledge? Because they had rejected it. People are upset and they are in darkness and confusion about the God's plan for their life. But you're not supposed to be in darkness. You're supposed to be in light, taking a step to get more light. So if you've been in darkness and confusion for years, it's because he told you a step and you didn't take it. Because God's not hiding his will from us. It's a serious thing to ignore light. There are a bunch of people in the body. God told them, go help so-and-so. He told them, help this church, help this ministry. And they did, and it was wonderful, and they flourished for a while. And then they got offended. They felt like they weren't acknowledging my gift enough, or this or that, or something happened they didn't like, and they left. And they tried to do this and it flopped, and they tried to do that and it flopped, and they moved over here and they joined this church and just caused problems, and they've changed churches and ministries about 9 times now. And they feel like their life is just passing them by, and they're not making progress, and begging God and fasting and wasting people's time with hours of counseling. Did you hear me? When the Bible says the rebellious are going to live in a dry, parched, unproductive place. Well, yeah, but God, they didn't treat me right. Yeah, but that didn't change the plan of God. Well, I don't have to put up with that. If you want to be in the will of God, you do. I don't have to take that from anybody. If you want to stay in the will of God, you do. Well, we're having fun now, aren't we? There's a word that is so politically incorrect. It's a word that Christians, by and large, cringe at the very sound of, and yet it's a Bible word. Submit. Submit. Oh, you see how what kind of response? I mean, it's like submit. It's been completely removed from marriage vows. It's been eliminated from stuff all through the church. And so much of the church don't even have a clue what it is. Don't even know what submission is. Let me tell you how you can tell. A lot of times people say, well, I used to teach a class on it. And people would say, look, Brother Keith, I'm looking forward to your class. You know, submission has always been easy for me. I know right away they ain't got a clue. Submission has never been easy for anybody. Submission is not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus himself. And then you hear people say this, well, now usually I submit to them. But on this thing, I just don't agree. You know what that means? It means you haven't had an opportunity to submit until now. And you're blowing it. There's not even an opportunity to submit until you don't agree. Agreement is not submission. Submission is when you don't agree. Why are you getting into all this, Brother Keith? Because people are languishing out of the will of God. Their life is passing them by, and they're not being and doing what they're supposed to be and do. I've been able to serve with some of the best people on the planet. The Hagans were some of the best. They're both in heaven now, Brother Kenneth and Miss Aretha. But I don't care who the people are, they got flesh. And there was a time or two through, 20-some years that I thought I might want to do something a little differently or this or that. And not always because of them, but be other situations. And there was a time or two I fell across the bed in sincerity and said, God, I want to transfer. I want to do this. I want to do that. Multiple decades, 20-plus years. I'm putting in a request for a transfer. And it come back, denied. Lord, I think I've done this enough. I want to do this in my own ministry, and I want to do this in the other. But if Jesus is your Lord, you can't just change your orders. See, we live in a world where people think they can go work where they want to, they can quit when they want to, they can change churches when they want to, they can change spouses when they want to, they can just do what they want to, when they want to, and they're doing it. And they're paying the price too. They're doing it. But Jesus is not their Lord. They are their own Lord. They're running their own life just like they want to do it. They believe in Him as their Savior. But He's not their Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord. Lord. Means He says jump and you go, how high? You do what He says, when He says, no matter how you feel about it, no matter. There's times, Brother Hagin said this one time. He said he wrote a book on suffering. And he said, you want to know why I'm settled today? Why I'm established? And he was. Man, no yo-yo. Same every day. Same. Victory every day. Faith every day. Every day. Year after year, decade after decade. He said, it's because I've suffered. Now see, Word and Faith people don't like to hear that. Oh, no. We've been redeemed from suffering. Yes and no. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from suffering poverty. We've been redeemed from suffering sickness and disease. But there's another kind of suffering. What is it? And he began to tell stories about, he said, every church God sent him to in the early days was a troubled church. He said, some of them, one side, half of them sit over here, and another half and glare at each other and dare each other to get on their side. And he said he'd pray and fast and do all the preparing he knew how, and he'd get up and he'd just try to project the words and just fall on the floor. Sometimes it seemed like they hit the back of the wall and just bounced back and hit him in the face. And after a morning service and a night service, he'd go and him and Miss Aretha's laying down to go to sleep, and he'd tell her, he said, Aretha, if I didn't know God told me to be here, I'd go get a U-Haul right now. I'd back it up to the parsonage and I'd load that thing and we'd be gone. And I wouldn't even tell anybody. We'd be gone in the morning and they'd go, what happened to Brother Hagin? What happened to our pastor? A lot of people didn't just say that. They did it. And when they did it, they got right out of the will of God and their progress and their development stops. And floundered and bounced around and tried to produce their own plan and vision for the next 20 years. Why would he tell all those stories? He said, you want to know why I'm settled today? Why I'm established? He said, it's because I suffered. Suffered what? suffered not getting your way, suffered having to submit, suffered having to stay when you wanted to go, having to go when you wanted to stay. We live in a generation that doesn't understand this. They think freedom means I do what I want to, when I want to, the way I want to, and if you don't like it, lump it. And I don't have to take that. I don't have to put up with that. I'm out of here. I'm gone. And people don't realize they are jumping out of the will of God, because there was another step after that one in that place. And they never take it, so they never find out what was going to come next. And so they wind up disgruntled. A friend of mine some years ago, I was talking to him. He had a young man that was associate. Stand up on your feet. Everybody stand up. Stretch your legs. I can talk while you stand. He had a young man that was an associate. Fine young man. And he was there just for a short time. And he came in and told the pastor, he said, you know, I just don't feel like I'm advancing here quickly enough, and there's some things I want to do, and you're not turning things over to me quickly as I think they ought to be, and I'm just going to leave. And he said, well, okay. He left. He's gone. I was there like a week later, and he looked at me, and I knew the man. I knew he was the kind of man he was, and his word was good. He said, I was about to buy him a house. A house. And pay for it. Put it in his name. I said, and you didn't tell him, did you? He said, oh, no. No, I didn't tell him. He's gone. Well, see, he never knew what he missed. He never knew it. Why? People miss it most of the time by moving too fast. Talking too much. Moving too fast. When you get stirred up, when you get mad, you get your little feelings hurt. You get upset, you get stirred. It ain't time to make decisions. It's time to go home, fall across the bed, and talk to the boss. Talk to the head of the church. And sometimes you can say, Lord, I'm putting in a request for a transfer. Lord, now this doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. The master himself prayed, Father, all things are possible with you. And if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Didn't he say it? But what did he come back to? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Was that easy? The Bible said, Hebrews talks about strong crying and tears. We're talking about Jesus, the head of the church. He was crying. He sweat blood out there, didn't he? Is submission always easy? No, no. But how many are glad he stuck to it and he submitted himself to the will of God? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Everybody just lift your hands and pray just a minute in the spirit. Oh, kumba lasate, ejin divanana mogon grexaris, ekle manistichias, of dimangre dibrene esticata. Oh, Father, livri lenoxode ligdononxa lidugamandeknas lidigondo bositre bositre. Oh, bositre anavatis. Oh, domesitre ivre mende alo oflo bazo benechi. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Just stay standing. We're gonna act on something here. But I need to read this to you. Just remain standing. Proverbs 29. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen to the last couple of these. Proverbs 29 says, "He that being often reproved and hardening his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Somebody say, no remedy. What does no remedy mean? Literally means no cure. That's what I was referring to a few moments ago when I said, you get in rebellion, you get in a place where nobody can help you, where there is no cure. Now, you can still change it. You can. But you're the only one. Other people can't help you. Unless and until you choose to stop being rebellious. Holy Spirit, help us with this. I don't know if I'm saying it strong enough. This is ruining Christians' lives by the millions. God leads people in a step. They go to the right place at the right time. There's divine connections. Amazing things happen. They begin to learn and grow and prosper. They have an opportunity to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And then they get miffed. And they get a chip on their shoulder. And they feel like somebody owes them something. And they, you know. It's really a contradiction because you hear people that pray for months or years, go, oh God, use me. Oh God, use me. Oh God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. Oh God, use me. And then he leads you to a place and puts you in a place, and then people come, you know, I just feel like I'm being used. Oh. Well, make up your mind, honey. What? Well, I don't mean it like that. I mean use. You don't know what you mean. Obeying God, following the plan fully, is not always comfortable. There are times you got to put your flesh under. There's times you got to do things you don't want to do. Jesus did. You're not above him. Right? The Bible said, if you get more stubborn every time you are corrected, one day you'll be crushed and never recover. You can put yourself in a place where there's no cure for you. Nobody can help you. I've had people look at me more than once. I've looked at them and said, now you know this is not the will of God. There's been times God got me up in the middle of the night, sent me into people's house. I don't do this all the time. But I sat down and told them, if you do this, it's going to cost you your marriage. It's going to cost you your ministry. It's going to cost you your prosperity, your finances. And they had said for years, oh, Brother Keith, if you ever get anything, oh, Brother Keith, if you ever get anything, please tell me. And I started out, I said, you've said for years, if I ever get anything to you, I'm here. I've got something. And you know what they looked at me and said? I know it's not right, but I'm going to do it. I don't mean once, twice. This has happened repeatedly. What happened? Exactly what the Lord said. Lost their marriage, lost their finances, lost their ministry. Why? There's no cure. There's no help. But good news, you can, even though there's no recovery, there's no cure, you can recover yourself. Through repentance. Somebody say repentance. Oh, repentance is a wonderful thing. Listen to this. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 2, and we're going to act on this. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at His will. Close your eyes. Hold up your hands. And everybody watching my internet, please do the same. Do the same. Spirit of God's there just like He's here. Said out loud, Father God, forgive me. For at any time, in any way, being stubborn or being rebellious, it's the nature of the devil, and you hate it, and I despise it too. I refuse to be that way. In Jesus' name, I ask you for repentance. To the acknowledging of the truth in Jesus' name. If I have rebelled against what you told me to do, if I've treated it as an unimportant thing, if I've scorned it as nothing significant, I ask you, show me again. Bring me back to it. Remind me of what you said. If you told me to take a step and I ignored it and didn't do it, I repent in Jesus' name and I ask you, show me again. I'm willing. I'm willing to obey. I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to take that step in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Musicians, singers, would y'all come? Pray in the Spirit. Oh, kumbalase diashaka. Oh, kumbelenzande olok diajote. Elevrain di bagolobro mususote greci. Eh, vilem blanda anzon. Come on, lift your voice. Oh, come on, keep on pray. Pray in the Spirit. Evelyn Blay Bara on the Vogomblin Brand, Ella Braver and Mala Rack the Gun of Old Randy Beach. Evelyn Brand of Isle of Road, the Olive Rain, Mala Gala, Matta Olive Rain, Mada Branacho. Ella Brava Okov on the old John Day, John Day, John Day, John Day. Oh, see like a water frigetti calacci. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes. Hallelujah. Would you sing that? Sing this out loud with our brother. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Everybody say,
Your Spirit speaks to me.
Whoa.
With my whole heart, I will agree.
Check, check, check.
My answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Come on, every voice, everybody say,
yes, Lord, yes. To Your will and to Your way.
Your eyes. I heard this in my spirit while we were praying. If you'll let your heart be made soft, if you'll lay aside your obstinacy, your hard-headed, stubborn ways, If you'll submit to me and those I tell you to submit to, if you'll be faithful where I place you, if you'll take the step I show you to take, I will restore unto you the years that have been lost. Years that were lost, things that were consumed. I am a multiplier, says the Lord. I can multiply your remaining time. I can multiply the fruits of your remaining time. You can exceed and excel yet. Today's the day. Now is the time. If you will yield. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Say, I will yield.
I will yield.
I will submit.
I will submit.
I will obey.
I will obey.
I will stay where I'm told to stay.
I will
do what I'm told to do.
Jesus,
I acknowledge.
You're not just my friend.
You're my Lord.
You're my Lord.
You are Lord
over me.
That means I do
what you say.
Always.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise Him some more. God's working in people's hearts.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise you.
Praise you, praise you.
Let your heart get soft before the Lord.
Yield yourself to the Lord.
Yield yourself to the Lord.
Yield yourself to the Lord.
Yield yourself.
Oh, say I yield myself.
Oh, say I yield myself.
I yield myself.
I yield myself.
I yield myself.
Sing yes again.
Everybody.